This is HPR episode 2828 entitled, Writing Web Game in Haskell, Science, Part 2, and is part of the series, Haskell. It is hosted by Tuku Toroto, and is about 46 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, Tutorto continues their explanation on simulating science in a game written in Haskell.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello, you are listening to Hacker Public Radio. This is Tuturto, and today's episode is about more science. Last time we looked how to model technology and research in the 4X game I'm working on, and this time we actually do some research. But first a quick recap. So there's a technology that is something that allows usage of buildings, components, and such. There's research that is done in order to gain technology, and the research has antecedents, so you have to do some research in order to be able to do some more research. And there's three main categories and several subcategories. There's a research cost, that is the cost of research in research points, and these points are generated by the buildings, at least at the time being. And in the database, there's three tables, available research, current research, and completed research. And a note about this thing is that there's a couple spots where I'm using map to store key value pairs. And later on, I realized that this is a... When I wrote that, it sounded like a good idea, but later on I realized that it's not that great idea. So I'm going to switch it to the plain function later on. There's a main reason is that with the if I store data in the map, I always get a maybe value back from there. If I use this function to that is total, so it returns value to every input you can give it, every possible input you can give it, I get a value back always. So I get rid of one layer of maybes. So it's cleaner to write, and the compiler will help me a bit more there. So let's look at the implementation. Most of the functions here are interacting with the database in way or another. The very top level, there's a server API. There's a three resources. There's a API/research/available that supports GET, that is used to retrieve for the what research is currently available to choose from. There's an API/research/current that supports GET, POST, and DELETE. You can retrieve to find what is being currently researched. You can change your current research, and you can delete a research from the current list. And then there's the production API/research/production that supports GET, and that gives you info about how much research points you are producing currently. So I'm not going through the implementation of those three methods. They are fairly uninteresting, but it's maybe interesting to know that those are how the client connects to the server and handles things related to the research. And let's look at the simulation then. I'll allow all of the code and concentrating only on the interesting parts. I'll be leaving out the types mostly. But the idea is that for each faction, we are calculating the research point production, then we are loading the current research, we are updating the progress of the research that we loaded from the database, and then all the research that is deemed to be completed are removed and handled differently, and the research that wasn't completed are written back to the database. That's the very high level overview of this thing. If you look at the research point production, these points are produced by the buildings. So first thing is to load all files and buildings from the database. For this, I have a function called faction buildings that is a query written in the SQL editor. That's a library for doing SQL manipulation. And complicated is a better word. It's a fairly complicated because SQL syntax is somewhat convoluted in my opinion. But that's the reason I'm wrapping that behind a function, so I don't have to deal with that all the time. I can make a function that I know that will reach into the database, and it will return a list of planets and all of those planets list of buildings. So there's a tuple where there's entity planet and second element is a list of entity building, and that faction buildings will return a list of those. Then we have to, from that list, extract buildings. So we can do that with a join $fmob snd and the name of the list. That means that we are running the function snd to each element on the list, and snd is a function that takes the second element of the tuple. The first element is FSD. Terrible names, but that's how they have been named. And that returns a list of lists. So we use join to remove one layer of lists, so we get just a list of buildings. And to count the research output, we have a function called research output that takes a building and returns the research score of total research score of that building, telling how much points it's producing. So we are running that function to every building on our list. So that is done with a research output dot entity val dollar diamond buildings. So research output dot entity val, that means that we are combining two functions. We are taking the entity val and research output functions and making a new function out of them. So whatever is fed to the entity val produces a value that is fed to the research output, and function composition is pretty common thing to do. And then we use the dollar diamond to run this our new function to our buildings list. So now we have a list of research outputs. And then because research output is in a total research score, and in the previous episode we made a monoid instance for it, we can use mconcat function to combine all these total research score objects into one. Basically we are just summing them together. That that gives you a total of the research output. So mconcat dollar research output dot entity val dollar diamond buildings. And this will give you just one total research score, that is the sum of all the total research scores of all those buildings. I wrote that research output function using pattern matching, meaning that on a type level that research output function takes a building and produces a total research score. And then I have multiple definitions for that function, each with different pattern to match. So for example, for the research complex buildings, I'm writing a function, the signatory reads research output, uppercase building, curly braces, building type equals uppercase research complex, close curly braces equals, and then whatever that function returns. This means that this version of the function matches you have to give it the building in any case, but it matches to buildings that have building type of research complex. If you call this with a, say, farming complex, it would match to something else. It wouldn't execute this version. And then I have similar definitions for each and every building that produces research points. And then during the compilation, the compiler will figure out which one should be. Runtime, of course. The system figures out which implementation will be called. And then, if I only would define buildings that actually produce research points, as soon as I would call this function with a building that doesn't produce research points, we would get a crash, because there wouldn't be an implementation to call. There wouldn't be a matching implementation. In other words, the research complex wouldn't be a total function. Total function is a function that will always return a value, that will always produce a value for every possible input it is given. So for this reason, we have a final definition, research output, underscore equals m empty. This means that if no other function definition matches when we are calling this function, then the underscore one will be matched. It's a default value. It means anything goes. And since we are not interested for the value at that point, we can use the underscore. If you would put there, for example, lowercase building, then it would be a variable name. Then it still would match anything, but we would have a building local variable available inside of the function. But since we are not interested in the building at this point anymore, we use the underscore. And mEmpty means that we are using our monoid definitions, the unit. So that's the our zero value that we defined for the total research score. And because we are summing total research scores in our monoid definition, then the unit is a total research score of zero. Meaning whenever we call total production function with a building that does not match, we get a total research score of zero back. Okay, so now that we have calculated the amount of research points that we are producing, and we have loaded our current research from the database, we need to update the progress. So we need to move the research forward. And there's two cases, both that start from the same data. So first, update the progress of all research, and then the research that was not finished will be written back to the database, and the research that was finished will be moved into the completed research table, and the news article will be written about it, so that whoever is interested on the news will see that now this research has been completed, and then they can go and check the what is currently available and view new research. So there's the function that does that. The main function is update progress, and it takes a total research score, and then it takes the entity current research and produces entity current research. So entity current research only means that it's a current research data that has a database primary key associated with it. So it sort of maps into the database. We have to look up for the, well, we have a production and a current, and then we have to map the current into the research, like the current research. We have to find the details of the research, because the current research doesn't have that much of data in it. It doesn't, for example, that doesn't tell how many research points you are still regard to, how many research points you still need to spend in order to complete that. For that, we need the research data. So we are fetching that from the DECMAT, and then we are taking that research that we found apart and finding the research score, and then we are going to from that we can update the research. So the interesting part here is that we are using, for example, when we are updating the engineering research, because there's three cases for the three different categories. So we have calculated engineering research component from the research production, and we want to add that to the research progress of the current research. And then we have a two-level hierarchy, like we have a entity current research, meaning that the entity has two values. It has the primary, it has the database key, and it has the actual data. And inside the current research, there's it's a record type. Inside that, there's a field called current research progress, meaning that this tells how long we have progressed. And we want to add to this value our research point production. And because Haskell is in Haskell, data is immutable. You cannot change anything. You can only create new objects or new data. That would mean that we would have to first take our different layers apart. So we would first have to get our current research, then add to that current research progress value, which will produce a new current research, and then we would have to construct a new entity current research that has the same primary key as before, but that has that current research and data is the one that we just calculated. And with two layers it's still doable. I mean, it's always doable, but with two layers it's not too much to write. But I wanted to try something different and use lenses here. And lenses are really interesting topic that I don't understand well enough to talk a lot or do a well enough to do a proper tutorial, but the idea is here that we can write a special kind of functions that can be used both to retrieving the values from the sum structure and also to construct that structure, and we can combine those together and use some helper functions to use those to either to read from very deep structure or change a value in a deep structure while constructing the whole structure automatically. So that part is, we have written as an entity val L dot current research progress L plus tilde n research dollar current, I mean. So what does this mean? There's the left side, the entity val L dot current research progress L. That's the lens part. Those I wrote those entity val L and current research progress L by hand. The lens library could make those automatically, but I didn't want to switch completely over using lenses. I only want to use them in some places, and I wanted to get a bit practice of writing stuff by hand so that I sort of understand what's going under the hood. So we combine these two functions, and then this is a then function that I can use. I think it was called view. I could, if this would be called, I could use view and this our lens, and then give it to the entity current research, and it will give me the current research progress of that. So it will go through layers and give me that value. But then we are using the plus tilde, which means that we are taking that value, we are calculating a new value, and then the lens will build the whole structure for us. So maybe that was convoluted and long-winded explanation, but the main idea is that I don't want to take write a lot of taking structures apart and building them just to update a value, so I'm using a lens to do that thing automatically. It still takes the structure apart to, and then changes the value and builds the whole thing back up, but it's automatic. So now that we have a entity current research that has been updated with the progress, we have to write them back to the database. For that, we are first filtering them. I mean, we have a list of these things. So we are first filtering the ones that are not finished, and then we are using the replace function to write them back to the database. So update finished function, that takes just a entity current research data. So filtering is done with the filter function. So we have a let unfinished equals filter, open parent not dot research ready dot entity val close parent updated. So again, we are using the dot operator to combine functions. So you can read that dot as a of, because then it reads not of research ready of entity val is the what our function does. So first we use the entity val to get the data from the entity, then we use the research ready function to check if the research has been completed, and then we use the not function to invert the result. So if it was true, it's false, and if it was false, it's true. And now we have a list of unfinished entity current research. And then we use replace function to write those back down. So MAPM and then the open paren slash x arrow replace open parens entity key x close paren open paren entity val x close paren close paren so unfinished. So what we are here doing is we are running the anonymous function that calls replace and gives it a primary key and the data to replace in the database. So that updates the database. I probably should again because this is running a one query for each data to update. So I'm wondering if there would be a way to patch them up. So I would give it a list of data and it would just run one query to update all the data. Not sure if it's possible, but that's something that I should look into. Okay, then the ones that has been finished. It's again, find finished. Then we move the entries to the complete research and add new entries. And then we remove the data from the current research because we don't want it to hang around there anymore, which has been completed, doesn't have to be there anymore. And then we also clear the available research for that research type, meaning that now that the one research has been completed, for example, engineering category, we clear all the engineering category because then in the later stop we can write new available research there because this research that was just completed might unlock some additional researches. And I'll try not to read aloud code. So that's handle complete function. Again, we are filtering it, and then we are turning the. It's basically the same filter than before, but without the NAP. And then we have a finished current research. Then we are finding the research type from there. Of the data technology, and then we are using insert many to insert to the completed research, and there's a function current to completed, which does the when given a current research, it will give you back a corresponding completed research data. So we can just use that to create our completed research data based on the what current research are given to them, and then just use insert many to write a whole bunch of those. In case there's a whole bunch of those into the database. And then there's a research completed function that will, when given a current start date, faction ID, and the research type, it will write our news entries. And again, we can use the insert many to write whole batch of these. Then the last two steps are to delete from the current research all the finished ones. In the code, this reads delete the open bracket current research ID arrow to the left dot fmap entity key finished close bracket. So here we are. This creates a delete. And now I'm drawing a blank how the SQL actually works. Delete from current underscore research where ID in and then the list of IDs. I think it's that's what it will generate. But that arrow to the left dot is it creates a in the SQL. So when given a list of something IDs in this case, it will insert them to the SQL that will be executed. And then we also want to delete the available research. So that's again a delete the open bracket available research dot arrow to the left dot finish text comma available research equals dot FID. And here there's two constraints. So the research that has to match of that values in that list, and that the faction ID has to be the current FID. And that's because we don't accidentally want to delete available research of some other faction, only this that we are currently handling. And last step is to get create a new available research if there has been research completed, or if this function is the process is being run on the first time, we need to insert into the available research database table the researches that are currently available. I'll save the random number for another time. There's plenty to talk about them anyway. But okay, so first we load the available and completed research because both are needed, and then we create a new random number generator. This is done with G arrow to the left, lift IO get STD gen. So this means that it's using the IO to get access to the input output. So it's getting access to the SAS system, and then it's creating a new random number generator, and that is assigned to the G. And this is because the randomness depends on some state of the system. So usually it is done that it's current time that is used for that. Because this is a pseudo random number generator that we are getting. When we construct a pseudo random generator with a seed value, it will always produce the same sequence of the numbers, no matter how many times you run it. So we have to vary the seed, and that is done with the current system date time. And then I wrote a helper function, getR, that is using a given random number generator, it picks some amount of entries from a given list. And this picking is completely even, it's not weighted in any way. I have been thinking that I should do some weighing there, but I haven't gotten around to that, and I don't really have a good plan for that yet, how I would weigh it. But the list to pick the research, new available research comes from the new available research function, and that is takes and then different categories are handled separately. So we have engineering and social sciences and natural sciences, and they are sort of separate in the system, so they are handled separately. We are using the same random number generation here, random number generator here. So while we are getting the same sequence for all three cases, it shouldn't matter. And if I later realize that it causes problems, I can change that still. And then we are writing the database by rewrite available research. So for example, if we were to figure out what research is available for the engineering, we would write this as a let ngand equals get r g is our random number generator, open bracket under research limit max available close bracket. This tells what's the research limit, how many researches we can keep going at the same time. And dollar new available research. This is the function that does the calculation of what research is available, and that takes parameter is engineering, max available, available and completed. So is engineering means that it will only handle engineering research. Max available is the research limit, how many researches we can have currently. This is currently it's hard coded to 3. Later on there will be a system that when you unlock some higher research, you get a higher research limit value, meaning that you can better guide your research to which direction you can go. You have more options to choose from. And available and completed are loaded from the database. So there's available research and complete research. Because new available research needs to know what has been completed and what is currently available strictly speaking, it only needs the complete research to figure out what research is available. But by passing in the available, we can do some optimizations. So the new available research has quite a bit logic inside of it. The main idea is that first we check that if the research limit is higher or equal. No, sorry. First we check if the amount of currently available research in that specific category is in engineering in our case, in this example, is higher or equal to the limit. And if we are at the limit or beyond it, we are just returning the empty list because there's no new available research. First we have to get our available research below that research limit. Otherwise we return a candidate, and the candidates are counted by there's a multiple steps. So our candidates are all the research categories of specific type, engineering in our case, that have been unlocked and are unresearched. So unlocked and unresearched are the ones in unlocked research that are not known. So we have unlocked research, and unlocked and unresearched are the ones that are not known, that haven't been researched. And the unlocked research are from the tech tree, all the research that have all the antecedents available. And known tech is the all the completed, this is given outside, completed, all the research types of the completed research. So that's I don't want to read that aloud, the whole implementation of that, because that probably wouldn't be very interesting. The code is in the show notes as usual. But the idea is that based on the what is available and what has been completed, we filter that data and get to the list of a specific category. And this is the research categories that we are getting from there. Okay, so and from that new available research function, we get the, in our example, the engineering candidates, and then you want to update the database with this information. We figured out the new available research for the engineering, natural sciences, and social sciences separately, but then we use the then we just combine the lists together because it's easier to handle. The reason we keep them separate in the in this step is that the search limit is per category. We have to figure out that the category, but after that we can just combine them, and now we have a list of these categories that we can. Sorry, not categories. List of available researches that we need to write into the database, and this is done with the free write available research function. And here the we first you have to find our top categories of all this information. So we have to find if we have some research that we want to write available, we want to find the top category of that. And we need to find that for all the researches, and we want to make a list of unique items. So we use MK unique to get a list of top categories. Oh, sorry, research categories. No, categories, yeah. We get a list of categories that are unique. And then if the list is not empty, we do two things. First, we delete all the available research that are of this faction, are these factions available research, and that are in the list of the categories. And then we use insert many to create available researches. So this will mean that if our faction complete research in the engineering category, for example, we manage to research a spaceship hull, caravel hull, for example, which is in the engineering materials, if I remember correctly. This function will find out that engineering materials research belongs to the top category of engineering, and then it will wipe all the engineering available researches for this faction. There should be two left if everything has been gone as planned. And then it will take all those new engineering researches and insert those into the database. And this is, like I tried explaining earlier, this is done because completing a research might unlock some other researches. So we want to then figuring out what research to do next, or letting the player option to figure out what research to do next. We are taking those new possible new researches into account. Again, we are still taking a limit subset of the. There might be that there's a, for example, 10 different researches that could be available, but we are only giving player three to choose from because the research technology is limited. They can only see three options, and when they get more advanced research technology, they get, for example, inference engines and analytical engines, then they have a research limit of four. They can better guide their research towards the direction they want. They can see more research options. Okay, now everything should be ready for the next month of simulation. So recap, so to recap, we find out what is the current production, then we find out what's the current research in the database, what's the available research in the database. Sorry, we actually find only what's the current research in the database. And then we update the research of these current ones, and those that wasn't completed are written back to the database. Those that were completed are removed from the current research and moved into the complete research, while at the same time creating a new entries, letting the faction members know that this research has been completed, you should do something about it. And then we are creating a new available researches if the situation allows. That's it. I think this was a bit convoluted explanation. I'll try a bit better next time. And in any case, if you have any questions, comments, or feedback, you can reach me by email, or you can reach me at the Fediverse, where I'm tuturto@mastodon.social, or even better, record your own episode. And next time, well, I don't know yet what I will look into next time. Something related to the Haskell, that's pretty much given, I think. So this is Tuturto. Thanks for listening. Ad astra.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.